And a very good morning once again. Adam Lepp back with you for the second of two shows that I do every Tuesday morning. What a great conversation with Nick C.J. last hour. This hour, we stay in the States and speak with Dr. Ron Feynman. I'll be dialing him up very shortly. So again, refill the coffee, hot cocoa, or other beverage of your choice. It is well worth it. Lots of current events to address. Again, a tribute to Barbara Bush is on the agenda. And we'll talk a bit about Zuckerberg and his booster seat and all that good stuff also. But before we dial up Dr. Feynman, please stand, take a knee, do what you feel is appropriate for the playing of our national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled
last hour, we took a trip to Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom and spoke to Nick C.J., mostly about Mark Zuckerberg and his booster chair and the ethics of companies like Facebook and a few other things. This time, we're going to go south. You know, the winter has made a bit of a return here in the Midwest, but it's going to come back and be spring-like in a few days. Don't despair. Anyway, we're going to go east, southeast. To Florida, Boca Raton, Florida, and speak to Dr. Ron Feynman about current events, maybe a little bit about Zuckerberg, and, of course, always a surprise or two. Ron, thank you very much for joining us today. I think it's your 117th show here on The Talking Place.
Actually, it's the 49th show I've been on your channel. I was on your station. I was noticing it's 48 times before today, 38 with you, now 39 and 10 with Scott, but good morning, and thank you again for inviting me.
Always a pleasure to speak with you. Let's talk about a positive story, and again, a lot of current event stories. I mean, they may be a little humorous, but they can be negative. Very positive story. We'll start with a negative story. The Cincinnati Reds, the team that I support, absolutely stink with a capital S. Of course, not a surprise. you trade away great players and you rely upon, you know, there are very good core players like Votto, but there are nine people on a baseball team. Their manager is completely incompetent. Let me say that Brian Price was a bad pitching coach. He's a horrible manager, and I think I'd be a better manager, but I'm not too sure I'll be getting that call anytime soon. So negative story, the Reds, if they lose 120 games, I wouldn't be surprised, but
I've got to tell you, the Miami Marlins are no better. The Miami Marlins are terrible, and their ownership is trying to claim that they're actually a business in the British Virgin Islands, so they don't have to pay taxes to the County of Dade in Miami. It's ridiculous.
Well, I guess that's because today is income tax day, and that kind of makes that an interesting story, wouldn't it? But anyway, a positive story. One of the greatest baseball players ever, and that would be Jack Roosevelt Robinson. Jackie Robinson is what he was known as. Was the first black player to play in Major League Baseball exactly 71 years and 2 days ago. And he's one of the greatest players ever. Started on first base by the Brooklyn Dodgers and broke the color barrier. Positive story about a great player, and not sure what to say, Ron. I wish I were alive to have seen that. Hate to say it, I think you were alive, but you were very, very small You didn't remember when Jackie Robinson started on first base, did you? Or did you?
No, not when he started in 1947. I was like two. But I do remember him before he retired in 1956. I was getting interested in baseball, lived in Nassau County, Long Island, and I was a Brooklyn Dodger fan before they moved to Los Angeles. And I knew Jackie Robinson was a great player, and the Dodgers, of course, won the World Series with him in 1955. And that's when I really first got interested. I was like sort of 11 years old, 10 to 11, when they won. And it was very exciting, and he was one of the stars of the team, yes.
You and I are big baseball fans, baseball historians, so we do honor that day. Again, a couple days ago. I think Jackie Robinson's legacy lives on, and not much to say, but I hope Jackie's up there in heaven smiling. Baseball, is it integrated like we'd like it to be? It's kind of tricky. We could probably spend a few shows talking about race and Major League professional sports. But Jackie Robinson...
Yeah, I wanted to mention... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, Jackie Robinson opened up many doors, and the doors continue to be opened, and the Jackie Robinson Day that is celebrated on April 15th, all players wearing 42, I'm totally in favor of it. What a great player. And you take a look, look at his stats. Batting average, .311. That's pretty good with a capital G.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that Jackie Robinson also, interestingly, was a registered Republican his whole life, which is unusual for the black community. Generally, we don't think of them as Republicans, but he was. But the only thing is, he was not for Barry Goldwater when he was the Republican nominee in 1964. He had supported Governor Nelson Rockefeller of New York, and like many Republicans, they repudiated Goldwater as too far to the right. But other than that, he was a Republican as far as in his politics.
Well, that is a bit interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Robinson was the first black television analyst in Major League Baseball and the first black VP of a major American corporation, Chock Full of Nuts, maker of coffee and other products. I'm sure you knew that, Ron, because you're a walking history book.
Well, not quite, but I did know that. But now when I think of Chock Full of Nuts, I think of Donald Trump.
Sorry to say that.
It crossed my mind.
I guess that might be an interesting parallel. He helped establish the Freedom National Bank in Harlem, in New York City. He was posthumously awarded the Congressional Gold Medal and Presidential Medal of Freedom. Ron, before we get to current events, I mean, this is just a topic that's kind of, I guess, tickled my brain. Thinking about another one of the greatest players ever, and of course that was Henry Aaron or Hank Aaron. Of course, he broke Babe Ruth's home run record. And of course, there's a question: is he a better player than Babe Ruth? Well, I think Babe Ruth is probably a more interesting person. He was a folk hero of sorts, but if you were to take a look at stats, I would say Aaron may have him beat a little bit. Ron, you'd remember better than I would. I do believe that Aaron tied or broke his record against my team, the Cincinnati Reds, if I'm not mistaken. But I was young then. You were a young adult at that time, Ron. How much did racism affect Aaron's career? I mean, the N-word was often used when people talked
it
about him.
It was used a lot.
When he broke,
it was used a lot.
Right, when he broke Babe Ruth's record.
He broke the record with the Atlanta Braves. He was always on the Braves, you know. But the point is, in 1974, he broke the record. But he had death threats at that point, he later told us about.
Right,
kinds of death threats. You know, so there was a lot of racism, the thought that a black person was overcoming Babe Ruth. But I think he was the complete player, much better overall than Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth had a lot of homers. He was a great pitcher when he was younger. But I think Hank Aaron was a more complete player, really.
Do you think that the racism that he endured with not only fans but his own teammates and opposing players, did that make him more of a fighter and that maybe help him, or is it a case where it made it hard for him to have a bond with his teammates? How do you think it affected his career? How would his career be different in 2018 if he were playing with the same skill set?
I think that he was such a professional that I think he somehow was able to compartmentalize it all and do what he had to do on the field and and still, you know, have the other parts of his life. But I think he was a true professional and a person really to admire. And I think he's one of the greats of all time, not only for his records, but his humanity as a human, you know, as a person. He is really such a star. And to me, that's real courage. And I think the same with Jackie Robinson, how he dealt with racism in an earlier period, of course, because he was there 30 years earlier. But he didn't let it get in the way of his professionalism and his accomplishments. So it takes a lot of courage and guts to be able to do that. It's not easy.
So we see a lot of parallels between Hank Aaron and Jackie Robinson. And today, Ron, do you think there is racism in Major League Baseball? How much does it affect a black player's ability to advance and be respected by his teammates and his managers?
I don't think quite as much now. I think in sports it has disappeared a lot, I think, to a great extent, especially in baseball, I think it has. I'm not so sure with football and basketball, but I think in baseball, first of all, more players now are Latino or Hispanic. There aren't as many African-American players now. So, but I think the newest challenge may be having Japanese players like this new guy, Ohtani, and I think that may cause resentment because the guy is so brilliant. He's like a Babe Ruth that's better than Babe Ruth, and he's so young. But I think there is a lot less racism now because there's much more diversity in baseball with Latinos and a few from Asia. And I think, you know, sports has gone further than the general society, I really think.
So we've come a long way, baby.
Particularly in baseball.
Yeah, like Virginia Slims would say.
I think we've come a long way,
yeah. We've come a long way, baby, but we're not finished over the obstacle. And we'll continue to evolve. So,
but it's a lot better than it was, I think.
So we do salute great Jackie Robinson as we celebrate anniversary 71 years and 2 days from his breaking the color barrier in Major League Baseball, and talk about many other great black baseball players in the major leagues. Don't want to leave out one of my favorite players. That would be Brandon Phillips, who, like Jackie Robinson, is a native Georgian. Of course, as I've said, I would never forgive the Reds for trading him, and I haven't forgiven them. But Brandon Phillips, I think, a future Hall of Famer. Greatest defensive second baseman I've ever seen. I wouldn't put him in a class with Hank Aaron, but he's certainly close. So a little plug there for one of my favorite players.
Well, of course, a great Cincinnati player was Frank Robinson. He was fantastic, and went to the Orioles also. But he was really a fantastic player, one of my favorites.
Yeah, and I remember he was a player manager of the Cleveland Indians. I remember listening to the game, and I remember he hit a home run once. I said, oh, okay, I wasn't a big Indians fan at that time. It was like, okay, isn't Frank Robinson the manager? He just hit a home run. Well, there you go. If you can't rely upon your own players, hit a home run yourself. You might as well. So I guess before we pick a different topic, Ron, do you think that racism was one of the reasons why the Reds traded Frank Robinson? Trading him was considered one of the worst trades in history, and he's certainly one of the greatest players ever. Did that play a part of it?
I'm not an expert on that, but Cincinnati is indeed southern Ohio. It's in the southern part, and I think that there's a lot more troubles there with that than probably the northern part of the state in Ohio, I would think. You know, I'm not sure. I guess you would know more about that because, you live in Ohio, but I would think Cincinnati was more of a difficult place race-wise, even in the time of Jackie Robinson.
I think there are some racial tensions in Cincinnati, and there were certainly much more in the 70s than there are now. So I guess you never know. But that wasn't one of the brightest trades ever. Though I would say that the trade with Cleveland for Brandon Phillips was one of the best trades. So Reds have made some good trades.
I noticed just now, went from the Cleveland to Cincinnati. That's interesting. It was
the beginning of his career. Of course, he's not with the Reds anymore. But again, I just thought he was just a great player. You just unimaginable that the second base defense that guy has pulled off, and he's not bad on the plate either. Plus, he's a bit of a character. When you like players that have a personality, they bring fans to the seats. So, my little 2 cents worth there. So again, celebrating the legacy of the great Jackie Robinson to begin the show here, a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. Now, Dr. Ron Feinman.
And
again,
I see Brandon Phillips has 2 of 10 homers so far, so he's got a good home run record,
I believe, I mean, I'm not sure he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I believe he will be in. He's about 36 years old, I believe, and I think he deserves it. But we shall find out. Again, a favorite player of mine, and I have a few players that I've had especially a special affection for, Phillips being one of them, Jose Rijo, obviously, many of the big Red Machine players, of course, Pete Rose. Every Reds fan loves Pete Rose, or at least you enjoy the controversy surrounding the guy. And we all have our list of favorite and not-so-favorite players.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're aware that Pete Rose had a restaurant down in Boca Raton years ago.
Yeah, and
he owned a restaurant in Boca Raton, Florida, and I was in the restaurant a few times. Yeah,
yeah, he had his own pizza. Didn't you say he was there once and he wasn't very nice?
Very nice, no.
Okay.
And he charges for everything, even to be standing near him. I'm kidding. But he isn't a very nice person, okay. You know, the way he treats people. But he's a great player. There's no question about that.
No question, Pete, as a pure hitter, is Joey Votto going to overtake Pete Rose as the best Reds pure hitter ever? Well, in 5 years, ask me again. But at this point, number 14 is number one as far as I'm concerned. So anyway, Dr. Ron Feinman joining us here live from Boca Raton, Florida, where it's nice and warm, as it tends to be. He is the author of the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. Now, when you were first on with Scott Spears, of course, the interviewer of the Stars back last year, February, I believe.
Yes.
You were on because you made a rather viral post on social media about how long Donald Trump would be sitting in his chair, not on the golf course or in his golf cart, but at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And you started out your blog of yesterday saying, this author, scholar, and blogger last year predicted that Donald Trump would not last longer than Zachary Taylor's 492 days in office before his death. At this point, with 41 days to go until May 27th, the odds of that happening now seem dim. So I guess, Ron, you have modified that story, and you now feel that although Donald Trump is not going to last until 11:59 and 59 seconds on January 20th, 2021, you don't believe he's going to serve out the rest of his term. Do you have a new prediction to share with us?
Yes, and actually, it's just been picked up by History News Network, so it'll be published, probably go viral and go to Newsweek or Time, and I may again become famous in a small way because I'm saying it, especially for people who attack me on it. But the fact is, after Taylor, the next shortest term is of Warren G. Harding of Marion, Ohio, who had 2 years and 5 months in office, 881 days, and would come up on June 20th, 2019. And I do think that 14 more months is what we're talking about because this Friday is April 20th. So 15 months have passed. There are 14 months more, a total of 29 months until Harding's death. And I do not see really any possibility of Harding being there still on June 20th, 2019. So I now am modifying the idea of the third shortest term to think it will be the fourth shortest term. And we've had 10 presidents that have had less than a term. So, I mean, but he's the fourth shortest. And 2 weeks longer is Gerald Ford. But I do really think, you know, that would be, by July 4th, of all things, 2019 for Ford. But I really do think that it's likely that he will be gone quite a bit before June 20th. 2019. So that's my modification of my prediction.
Well, that certainly will be interesting, won't it? And we shall see.
Now, yes, it's a good guess. You know, just a gut feeling. I'm still amazed that he's still there, but that's a lot because his party refuses to take responsibility for the kind of things he's been engaging in. And it's not going to help them long term.
On a local note, Ron, you're of the belief that our local congressman, Mr. Jordan, might be having aspirations to be Speaker of the House. Now,
yes, I gather that there is some interest, although he seems to be denying it, but I've watched Jim Jordan, and I just find him a pretty disgusting person to watch with his Freedom Caucus views, but apparently the local area likes him, I guess. They've elected him, but now that Paul Ryan's leaving, I think a Freedom Caucus member, possibly him, possibly someone else, might be at least a challenger to Kevin McCarthy to be the Speaker. And Kevin McCarthy is very close to Donald Trump, which is good and not good. I'm not sure it really is good, but I remind you that Kevin McCarthy is the person who back in 16 made a comment about Russian connections of Trump, and Ryan said, shh, don't talk about that. So I wonder if that's not going to come up as an issue. What is the actual involvement of Ryan and McCarthy in knowing about a possible Russian collusion of President Trump? I wonder. So I'm not sure that it's going to be that easy for Kevin McCarthy, if he is the candidate, to become the Speaker. And that's assuming the Republicans keep control of the House. If they don't, Nancy Pelosi would be the Speaker, of course.
So we shall see, as we like to say. In politics, just when you think you figured it out, you get thrown a curve. And not the kind of curve.
Yes, but Paul Ryan, I've written about on my blog years ago when he was running for vice president, and I blasted him at the time and got really bitterly attacked for it. But now he's leaving, and there's been a lot of negative attitudes about his leaving and about his record as speaker. He certainly does not stand out as one of the great speakers of the House. In fact, John Boehner from Ohio comes out looking better. Everything is relative these days, how you compare people.
Yeah, not the kind of curve that the aforementioned baseball players could wallop over left field. But a curve as in a surprise. So bottom line is, Ron, you're not a fan of Mr. Ryan, nor are you a fan of Mr. Jordan.
Or Mr. McCarthy, frankly, either. No.
Now, there's been a lot of talk on Facebook about Paul Ryan and his kind of wanting to break up Social Security, that he's 48 years old. I mean, he's a fairly young man. And is he a bit of a hypocrite about his age and the defunding of Social Security and how it might help him or not help him? Is the guy, I mean, you wrote on the 13th, Ryan a failed and disgraceful figure in American political history and total sham. Now, that's some very strong language, Ron. Is that something you think is valid? Is he a total sham?
I think so, and if you look back at my earlier entries, you can type in Paul Ryan and look back. I think his whole record is Ayn Rand's craziness, and he wants to destroy the social safety net completely, and yet he's presided over the greatest tax cut ever, and you know he's really promoting a Oliver Twist kind of an attitude about you know the whole idea that the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, the Christmas Carol story, I guess you could call it too. And I don't think that's something to be proud of. And he claims to be a good Catholic, and many Catholic groups do not agree with him and think he's disgraceful in his whole attitude about poor people and the sick and the elderly. So I think it's a disgrace. And he himself benefited when his father died. He had Social Security benefits as a teenager when his father died. But yet now he's ready to try to, you know, weaken or destroy or privatize Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and food stamps when there's so many people who need it. And, you know, to me, it's hypocrisy.
So you do see him as a bit of a hypocrite. Now,
more than a bit, yes.
Yeah. Now, if he does leave office, you know, he'll be around 50 years old, you know, a fairly young man. Do you see him just retiring and going on the golf course, maybe playing some rounds with the president? Or do you think he will start a company? Or what do you think he will do for a living after he leaves Congress?
Well, first of all, he had said he wanted to have more time with his teenage children. So I don't think, even though some people think he could decide to announce for president and challenge Trump or Pence, I don't think he would do that because that would really be hypocrisy after he left for the idea of having more time with his kids when if he's running for president next year, he has less time than if he was even a speaker. So I think not right now, but I think it's possible to imagine he might decide to run for president later on, 2024, because he has been Speaker of the House, not just a House member. But also, if not that, I think he could very well, you know, become somebody who becomes part of Fox News Channel and becomes a person with a show, a commentary. I mean, plenty of other people have done, including Kasich did it back in the first decade of the 21st century. He was on Fox News, Governor Kasich. So I could see him possibly doing that, probably writing his memoirs and making money on that, making speeches and lectures and getting paid more than I get paid for my lectures. I could see him doing those kind of things. But he's in pretty good shape financially, considering what he was not in when his father died and his mother, you know, had to take care of the family, and they had Social Security benefits back, what, 30 years ago, more than 30 years ago.
So, as they say, we shall see. Just when you thought you'd figured it out, a curve is thrown. And that's part of the fun of discussing politics and history. You never quite know what is going to transpire. Last hour on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, Ron, Nick CJ and I talked about the Zuckerberg testimony, spent about 35 minutes on it, and about Facebook, and is Facebook a monopoly, and is Zuckerberg not quite as innocent as he looks? Interestingly, Ron, it seems like the biggest topic among social media discussers would be the booster seat that Zuckerberg sat in. Wasn't really a booster seat. I guess, interestingly enough, we know Zuckerberg's as a slight build, but you think of him as being kind of tall, but he's only 5'7". You know, I'm 5'10", 5'11", if I stand up straight, so I'm a little bit taller than he is. Nick is 6'1", so we're both taller. Ron, you're about the same height, but men have gotten a little bit taller.
As Zuckerberg, 5'7". Yeah. Although I'm probably shorter now because I'm older. I might have lost some height.
But I guess that's kind of interesting. People talking about his booster seat, about his suit looking like it's a little too big. Again, probably like me. You know, again, I haven't worn a tie literally since 1999. I don't even know how to tie a tie. I don't wear ties. I don't like
them. Never wore a tie?
I don't know how to tie a tie for the life of me. So, and I haven't
worn
one
since 1999. But every time I give a lecture, I do wear ties. Yeah. I don't like it, though. No.
Literally since 1999, I have not worn a tie in the 2000s. I don't need to wear. I don't like them. And computer techs don't wear a tie. First of all, the tie kind of hangs out, and as you're working on a computer, it can get caught in the fan and could kill you. which wouldn't be very good.
What about a bow tie?
Well, I guess I could do that. You know, Scott Spears at the station, he wears a bow tie sometimes, so I guess I could do that. But bottom line is, I think I probably dress a little better than a lot of computer techs, but I'm certainly in that neat casual department, which I think suits me better and save a little bit of money too. I never like going.
Well, Zuckerberg also is not a formal dresser. He did for the appearance, but he generally doesn't. You know?
Yeah, but it looks like his mommy dressed him very nicely for the testimony, and that's going to happen. You're gonna be scrutinized. Everything from your dress to your manner of speaking. I'd never heard the guy speak before. I didn't even know what kind of voice he had. And being in the radio business, somebody's voice is always interesting. And so I kind of watched the testimony just out of curiosity. So I guess, Ron, you saw a little bit of it. You saw some highlights.
And yes.
We talked to Nick about this. Is Zuckerberg Knight is not quite as, you know, he looks innocent. Is he not quite as innocent as he looks? Has he really committed some ethical, if not criminal, violations here? And might we be hearing a little more from him and his testimony?
I don't think he intends criminal violations, but I think he's a bit naive about the effects of his company. I think it's a misunderstanding of the effect, but I don't think he has evil intent. No, I would not say that.
Now, granted, the company has exploded. He didn't think this would be happening, you know, 12, 13 years ago.
I don't think he ever dreamt he would be in this situation of this, how massive it is, and that he is the third wealthiest person in America with $71 billion, and he's younger than my youngest son by 6 weeks, which is shocking. Sometimes I tell my son, imagine if you were him.
And he was asked, as I talked to Nick about, does Facebook have any competition? Well, there are other social media outlets, but nothing close to Facebook. It's not like...
But I've heard that... I think the younger people, though, don't like Facebook, the younger teens. Yeah. That's what I've read.
But there is no competition. I mean, he bought Instagram. Yes, there is LinkedIn, there is Twitter, and they are similar, but they are not viable competitors. Now, if you were to ask the president of General Motors, is there a competitor? Yes, Ford and Chrysler and all the Japanese and European manufacturers. Mm-hmm. But it's a little different with Facebook. Now, Facebook also is not a service you pay for directly. No one's being forced to use it, but everybody does. You and I talk on Facebook every day. And there are many great things about it. Now, as users of Facebook, not paying for the service, we use it at our own risk. And it's known that Facebook will take your instant messages and scan them. Now, that might be because they're scanning for illegal content, but they're also being nosy and maybe selling your information to advertisers. But again, neither you nor I is being forced to use Facebook, and we choose to. Now, as I see it, okay, they are looking at my information, but honestly, my life isn't that interesting, so I really don't care. And it is a service that I think is easier to use than communicating via text or by phone call or by Morse code or whatever. So we choose to use it. Plus, I'm not going to talk about anything illegal. And again, nobody is being forced to. Now, one thing I asked Nick about, and again, as an American and someone even a little bit older than Nick, well, you know, again, we're about a generation apart, Ron. You and I remember the AT&T breakup very well. AT&T was a service that people paid for and everybody had. As you and I both know, 35 years after the breakup, AT&T is a bigger company than it was before they were forced to break up. Now, that's because of internet and cell phones, things we had, but not to the extent that they were in the 80s. Yeah, Facebook being a little different, being a worldwide company, being based in the United States, but used all over the world. And not a service that people like you and I pay for directly. Do you think that Facebook may be forced to break up, that they'll be thought of as a monopoly? Will that ever happen? Or is comparing it to AT&T not really a fair analogy?
I don't think it's a fair analogy, and I don't really see how they could be broken up. How are they going to break it up? It's got 2 billion, I believe, people that signed up to it. That's bigger than any company in the world, I guess, right? There's nothing, and it's 2 billion.
Facebook is bigger than bigger force than a lot of foreign countries and a lot of companies. But it is different in that it doesn't sell a product that you pay for. Let's just pretend. Yes. Let just pretend that General Motors was all one company, and they were being told to break up. You know, break up into Chevrolet and Cadillac or whatever. Well, no one is being forced to buy a car. You could buy a Ford, and if you buy a GM car, you're paying for it. But when you and I go to Facebook.com or use Facebook on our mobile device, we're not paying anything. I mean, other than the electricity, et cetera, and the device itself, but not paying anything directly to Facebook unless we're buying ads or what have you. So there is a difference there. So will Facebook continue to grow? Or as Nick thought, might we be reaching the climax of Facebook? And with this Cambridge Analytica and bit of a scandal going on, is Facebook going to be on a decline, and will someone come up with a viable competitor to Facebook?
I'm not an expert on this. I don't think there'll be a viable competitor. I think we need some kind of oversight to make sure the kind of stuff that Cambridge Analytica did and that the Russians did does not happen to affect our politics. There's got to be some way to deal with that. But I don't really see a competitor that's going to compete with Facebook. And I don't see, even though younger people don't seem to like it as much as younger teens, I still think overall there'll be a continued growth. But the question is to have regulation so that it does not distort and corrupt our political system. That's the most worrisome thing, I think.
Do you think that Cambridge Analytica and Facebook, did they influence any elections? If there were no Facebook,
seems like it.
Might we be talking about President Clinton, President H. Clinton, instead of President D.J. Trump? Is that a possibility?
I think there is a possibility, and it concerns me. That's why there needs to be some kind of oversight and control. But I don't really see competition that would really be able to, I just don't see that occurring. But I'm not an expert on that topic to be able to be sure. But I have my doubts. Yeah,
I guess we shall never know.
But it is a worrisome thing. And Twitter, of course, I heard that Richard Spencer, the white supremacist, was banned from Facebook. His page was knocked off Facebook, I heard, on Monday. And I heard that, and I'm not saying I believe in censorship, but the guy, of course, promotes hate and racism and everything else, so they took him off. So I'm thinking to myself, it sounds funny, but I say, really, maybe there should be banning of Trump from Twitter so we stop having, the stuff he does on there that causes all kinds of difficulties internationally and nationally. But I guess that's never going to happen. But that's an interesting thing in itself, the idea of banning hate mongers like Richard Spencer. I wonder if that could be won in court, that he cannot be banned. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, free speech, does it stop at hate speech? Another topic.
And how do you define hate speech? That's the thing also.
And what's freedom
it's
of speech?
Issue, yeah.
What's hate speech? Sometimes the line is very gray.
Yes, but Richard Spencer is despicable. That's
I don't think anybody would disagree that person, I wouldn't call him a gentleman, I'd call him a Homo sapiens, not proud that I'm in the same species as he is, but that's not the same as somebody with an opinion that you may or may not agree with. Anyway, let's switch gears a bit. We've heard in the news a lot, Ron, a woman that we both admire, Barbara Bush, is in failing health, and she's not going to seek additional treatment. And very sad. I think we both agree she was one of our favorite first ladies, woman of great ethics, very good speaker, and one of only two women to be the wife and mother of a president. And I believe she and George H.W. Bush are the longest presidential married couple ever.
73 years, and of course, Abigail Adams is the other first lady who had a husband and a son in the White House, yes.
So we're both very sad. I mean, she has lived a long, productive life, and I think her legacy will live on. And I
must say that she's 92, would be 93 in June. Watching and listening in the last couple of days, because I can get emotional. I've had a few, not major, but a few tears and sadness about it, because it's a thought that she's not allowing medical attention, that she's just accepting that time is up. I mean, it's hard for anybody to really do that. It takes a lot of guts and courage to say no more medical treatments, where she's deciding, not her husband or her children. I think you have to give her credit for that. But I'm trying to imagine myself doing that. I don't know if I could have the courage to say stop the medical attention. I don't know.
She's a very
good answer to her stature.
Yeah, she's a very smart woman, and you have to admire whatever she says. And we've talked about how she was not afraid to let the world know that some of her beliefs are not consistent with her husband's or her son's.
Like an abortion.
Abortion, being a biggie. And, you know, you and I, let's say we're both pro-choice. She's pro-choice, but her son and her husband don't have the same opinion. But we
so
could all...
Laura Bush, George W.'s wife, is also pro-choice, and so is Nancy Reagan. Yeah.
That doesn't mean that we can't shake hands and agree to disagree. And we're Americans, we're intelligent, educated adults, and we understand that intelligent, educated adults don't always see eye to eye. And you got to love her for that. I think, interestingly, we've talked a lot about Betty Ford and her legacy.
Oh, I love Betty Ford.
As a Democrat, I'm independent, of course. You as a Democrat, Ron, it almost seems like some of your favorite first ladies were Republicans. And so we don't always look at the party. We look at the person. But granted, Barbara Bush is more of one of those, you know, I would almost say liberal Republicans. I mean, maybe not to that extent, but certainly she is more middle of the road.
Yes, so was Betty Ford, and so was Laura, and Nancy Reagan, not as much, but at least on abortion, she had a different view, yes.
But when it comes to substance abuse, and I'm thinking about, you know, my friends that have been in rehab and a few that should be in rehab, and just the drug abuse problem, which is rampant, you know, rampant here in Marion and rampant everywhere, but it certainly hits home a lot in mid and central Ohio. I think Betty Ford has done quite a lot, and when it comes to substance abuse and rehab, there is no right and wrong. There's no left and right. There's no male and female. There's no black and white. It affects everybody, especially when a friend or family member is in rehab or should be in rehab or may have been in rehab and then relapsed.
I'd like to see more being done about the drug issue by President Trump and Attorney General Jeff Sessions. They really haven't done much about the opioid crisis. I think that's a major issue that needs to be dealt with.
I wouldn't disagree that Betty Ford is up in heaven shaking her head right now. Not overly pleased. Let's put it that way. But we do celebrate the legacy of Barbara Bush, and I wish her comfort in her final days. Excellent first lady.
Yes, I agree.
And you know, again, from a statistical standpoint, one of only two women who's been the mother and the wife of a United States president.
And yeah, I must say, I fear that George H.W. Bush, who's almost a year older and is also born in June, almost a year before his wife, well, it possibly might cause his decline and maybe his demise, because when you're in your 90s and you lose your mate, it often means the other person often does not last long beyond, you know.
Yeah, you have to admire their marriage, and I guess you don't hear much about it, but they're obviously happy. And
what's interesting is that she has made the claim, Barbara Bush, that George H.W. is the only man she ever kissed in her life, and her children and grandchildren looking like amazed that this is it, their first boyfriend, and never kissed anybody else.
Well, that certainly is unusual in our days of divorce rate being over 50%. And, you know, I would believe her. I see Barbara Bush, Ron, as a very honest person, and I would believe her. And I admire her, you know. She is an old school person, and somebody I think
fan of Donald Trump.
We could all take a lesson from her.
Yes,
and again, I wish her well in her final years. I mean, it is very sad because I've always had an affection for her, and I agree, Laura Bush also, but you've been a fan of hers. And you don't elect the first lady. But first ladies are interesting to talk about. I'm not sure we totally see eye to eye on Melania. I mean, I do admire her. I know it's not easy being the first lady. I think she's quite intelligent. She speaks multiple languages, and Eastern European languages and English are not easy languages. And, you know, she has that sexy accent, but I think she does speak very well. She is a mother.
Well, I feel bad for her.
Yeah. No, she's an excellent mother. And her husband, you know,
yeah,
I'm not sure he's the best
husband she has.
Right, not the best husband or father in the world, but I think she does the best with the cards that she's been dealt. And
I think she's handled herself as well as you can with a character like her husband.
You know,
yes,
she ain't bad looking either. But that just an aside. I don't personally care if she was a model or a naked model. So what if you got it? You know, show it. It's a well paying job. Mm. She did things ethically.
Yeah.
It is legal. It is legal to be a model. It's legal to show body parts you wouldn't show necessarily in public. So I don't see the problem with it. And
I would agree with you. You know, it's just some people would find it difficult. What gets me is the evangelicals should care, but they don't seem to care, which is interesting. They, you know, they would for anybody else, but for the him, they're willing to do anything to,
okay,
to
well, I guess
go
speaking
along
of,
with Trump.
Very religious people. We only have a few minutes left, but of course, time always flies when you're having fun with the professor. Vice President Mike Pence, you wrote about on Sunday. Growing question, in the midst of ever-expanding Donald Trump corruption and regarding Russian collusion, obstruction of justice, blah, 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 is why Republicans do not abandon Trump and promote a true believer, VP Mike Pence. And Pence has a record of being allied with the Tea Party movement while a congressman that arose in the wake of the election of Obama in 2008. He has a record of promoting the tobacco industry, denying that cigarette smoking caused lung cancer. Of course, that's interesting. You wrote that below about Obama because it was known that he smoked and probably still does smoke, but I guess...
That's true.
Yeah, well, I guess his wife kind of told him that if he runs for president, he must quit smoking, but... Who knows? And personally, I could care the less if Obama smokes. Being president is a stressful office.
And no, I agree. But the point of promoting the tobacco industry, I think it's despicable to say it doesn't cause lung cancer when it does. That bothers me.
Yeah. That Pence has a record of advocating conversion therapy to undo the, quote, sin of being gay or lesbian. He has a record of being a leading misogynist, vehemently opposing the right of a woman to choose in regards to abortion, and his wife Karen has had a strong influence on his thinking on this. A total of 10 presidents have served less than a full term. So the bottom line is, Ron, we talked to begin the show about how long Donald Trump will last in office. Are you kind of saying that Republicans have not fully embraced Mike Pence, that they kind of want to keep what they have? Or what's kind of the bottom line with that?
I really don't know why they don't embrace Pence, because Pence is more one of them. I'm not happy, as I said, as a progressive. I wouldn't want Pence in. But it seems to me, if you're a true believer in conservative ideas and in the evangelical movement, Pence is the right person. Trump is a charlatan. So I don't understand why they don't back Mike Pence, because that would not be a defeat. It would be a victory for the right, which I, therefore, would be against. I would be a big critic if Pence comes in. But at least Pence would not be in the same level dangerous that Trump is with his mouth. He wouldn't be on Twitter, and he wouldn't be making a fool of himself with a lot of things he would say. So, but I really don't know why they don't back him. I really don't. But I think at some point they might change, because in June there's going to be a meeting of evangelicals with Trump, and the way things are going, who knows? They might pressure him that he should leave and let Pence come in. I don't know what to say. You know, I want to also point out that I had a blog entry, The Odyssey of Donald Trump, from Roy Cohn, who of course was the aide to Senator Joseph McCarthy, to Michael Cohen. That over 45 years, he started his public career knowing Roy Cohn, who was a despicable attorney and a corrupt person, and also gay, and denied it, and was anti-gay, and then all the way to Michael Cohen, who apparently is only a person that he represents is Trump, and apparently corrupt as well. So it's from cone to cone with an E added for the second cone. I thought it was a cute title.
So the reason why Pence has not been completely embraced by Republicans remains a bit of a mystery. I guess we shall find out. And as we've talked about, Trump is really more of an independent. And sometimes you're not quite sure what he believes, and he's been known also to change his beliefs. But that's...
Yes.
He is one of the most unusual presidents we've ever had. Love him or hate him, he certainly is different.
Yes, certainly, yes.
And has been fodder for many politically oriented radio and TV shows, including this one, and will continue to be so. Well, as my mama always said, time flies when you're having fun, and sure enough, time has flown, and the show is about ready to conclude. Dr. Ron Fineman, thank you once again for being with us today. Always a good time.
It's been fun.
Interesting
been
and fun. Stimulating conversation.
Much.
And to recap, we talked about exactly when Donald Trump will be no longer U.S. president. We talked about the embracing or non-embracing of Mike Pence by Republicans. We did a little baseball history discussion, talking about Jackie Robinson and also about Hank Aaron. And a little time for one of my favorite players, of course, Brandon Phillips. And
Mark Zuckerberg.
And of course, yes, Mark Zuckerberg and his booster seat and exactly his great influence over the world and of social media. Feel free to email.
And Roy Cohn to Michael Cohn.
Yes. And I think that's about it for today. Yes. Amazing how time flies on this show. Pretty cool, if I should say the least. Be sure to email me.
We always have a good time, though.
Let me know what you think about the show in our discussion. Again, if you don't agree with me, that's okay. We invite all opinions. Be very interested in any remembrances of Barbara Bush as she enters the final days of her life. It's painful to say that, but a great first lady and mother of a president, someone we admire, even if we may not agree with all of her political beliefs, woman of great ethics. And you can probably hear me trying to brush back tears, and I am. So I've always admired her.
Yeah.
Would love to hear your...
I've had some tears, too.
Yeah, any opinions, remembrances of Mrs. Bush, Adam at WWGH1071.com. And Ron, your blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. We invite our listeners to bookmark that blog and read it daily, as it's always interesting in terms of learning about history, current events, and certainly inviting controversy from everybody. Have a great rest of your day, Ron. Thanks again for being...
Thank you. You too.
...on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.